Okay, good evening, everybody. With a little bit of technical difficulties as our introduction, Baruch Hashem, here we are. We are ready to learn. Welcome to the Abba Karatan Synagogue Midrashah. I thank Rabbi Shabtai for inviting me to present this year. So the title of my shir is called Neis Chanukah, the Indomitable Spirit of Knesset Yisrael. So I'm going to begin with the synopsis of the story of Chanukah. Of course, it's a 3 days, we're going to light the first Chanukah lich. Thursday evening corresponds to Chav Hei Kislev, of course, and we will light the first candles. So we read the Al HaNisim, we add this to our Amida as well as to our Birkas HaMazon, and we thank Hashem for the miracles and for the salvation and for the mighty deeds and on saving us and for the wars that you have done for our forefathers in these days, in that time. And then we say, B'yimei Matisyahu, in the days of Matisyahu, Ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol, excuse me, the son of Yochanan the Kohen Gadol, Chashmonai Uvana, from the family of the Chashmonaim and his sons, Kesha'amda Machus Yavan Harasha al Amcha Yisrael, when the wicked kingdom of Yavan stood up against your people Israel. And what was the goal? What did they want? Not to slaughter us like Haman and Achashvebush, rather, Lahashkicham Torah Secha. The goal was to make us forget that there was a Torah, Ulahavira Michukevit Tunecha, and to remove us from keeping the holy laws, Va'ata, but you God, Barachamecha Harabim, in your great mercy, you stood for us in our time of tzara. Ravta es rivam, you took up our grievance. Danta es dinam, you judged our judgment. Nakamta es nukmasam, you took nakama, revenge for us. Masarta giborim biyad chalashim, you gave over the mighty into the hands of the weak. The rabim biyad ma'atim, the huge Greek, Syrian Greek army and forces into the hands of the few, some few fighters from Judea. Utimeim biyad tahorim, the impure in the hands of the pure. Urishaim biyad tzadikim, the evil ones into the hands of the righteous. Vizeidim biyad oskei Torah secha, and those who are so sinful, you gave over into the hands of those who are involved in Torah. And so the first part of Al Hanisim b'mei Matisyahu recalls the physical victory. There was a war, there was a battle, there was an ill-equipped, ill-prepared, small in number Jewish army fighting against a mighty Greek army who wanted us to forget the Torah. And miraculously, the small army won, and the many fell into the hands of the few, and the strong fell into the hands of the weak. And for yourself, you made a great and holy name in this world, and in your world, and for your nation of Israel, you made a great salvation. And afterwards, and now we come to the miracle of the oil at the end of this passage. Your children came, your sons came to your holy sanctuary. They overturned the heichal, the tiharu et mikdashach. And they once again sanctified and made holy your mikdash Hashem, v'hidliku neiros, and they lit the candles b'chatzros kodshecha in your holy courtyard. The kavu shmonas yimei Chanukah elu lehodes ulahalal l'shimcha gadol. The sages established, as is brought down in Masechta Shabbos Chof Aleph Amud Beis, as we will quote from in a few moments. The sages established this Yom Tov lehodes, to give thanks ulahalal, and to praise l'shimcha gadol. So here we have a synopsis of the story of Chanukah. There was a physical battle that against all odds we won, and there was a spiritual battle that was won. The physical battle was won in the actual war, and the spiritual battle is represented in the lighting of the menorah, in the sanctification of the mikdash, and we establish these 8 days as a time of praise and thanksgiving to God. So we see that there are two aspects to the miracle of Chanukah. There is the physical aspect of the war, and there was the spiritual aspect, and both of these aspects had a salvation in the time of Chanukah. So the Gemara tells us, and now I'm moving into Masecha Shabbos, Chof Aleph Amud Beis. So I'm actually going to quote 3 different passages here from the Gemara. I'm going in backwards order. I'm starting with the last teaching, moving to the next teaching, which is second, and moving to the last teaching in my shir tonight, which is the first one in the Gemara. So the Gemara tells us as follows. Okay? Again, Chof Aleph Amud Beis, Shabbos 21b. Ma'i Chanukah. What is the Yom Tov of Chanukah? So the Gemara says, B'chaf hei b'kislev, Yomei de Chanukah, on the Chaf hei Kislev, on the 25th, Chanu Chaf hei, they rested on the 25th of Kislev, we have the Yom Tov of Chanukah, Tamnaya Inun, There are 8 days in all. Dilo limispad bahon, you cannot give a hesped during these 8 days. Udilo lihis anos bahon, and there is no fasting. So there's no mourning, there's no hespedim, there's no fasting during these days. Now the Gemara tells us a little bit about the story of Hanukkah. The Gemara says, kishenichnesu yavanim lehechal. When the Yavanim, when the Syrian Greeks entered into the sanctuary, timu kol hashemanim shabehechal. Now this is not the story as we know, but this is actually quoting the Lashon of the Gemara. They made impure, they defiled all of the oils in the sanctuary. And when the royal house of the Chashmonaim became victorious, they gained the upper hand. And they won, they vanquished them. Bad kuvelo matzu ala pach echad shel shem. And so the Chashmonaim come, the family of Kohanim, the leadership of Matisyahu, the father of this family, they form an army. They are Kohanim, they're not fighters by nature. And yet they come in and they clean up after winning the war, and they barku and they check below Matsu alapach echad shel shem. And they find one little flask in all the defilement the Yavanim had put in Avodah Zarah into the temple. It was utterly defiled. They destroyed the golden menorah. The Chashmonaim needed to make a tin menorah. They found one little pach of shemen with shemen zayizach that was pure olive oil that was still sealed with the stamp of the Kohen Gadol. Shahaya munach b'chos moshel Kohen Gadol. It still had, you know, when you buy the jam, it says if this is popped up, don't use it. So lahavdil, they found one little pach shem and that was still actually sealed, safe to use in terms of purity, with the seal of the high priest. There was only enough oil for it to last for one day. A miracle was made. And how many days did it exist for? 8. The menorah that they lit with enough oil from the miraculous pach shemen that they found in the first place, because the Maisa, they shouldn't have been able to find pure oil after all the defilement of the Yavanim. So the first miracle is that they found oil at all. The second miracle is that they lit the oil at all. They constructed a tin menorah. The third miracle is that the oil was supposed to burn for one day. However, they managed to light from that one pach shemen enough for 8 days. L'shana acheres, in the next year, Chazal came along. Kavum va'asum yamim tovim. The next year, Chazal came along and they established that these days of Chanukah, like the Gemara says, which begin on Chav Hei 25 Kisev, should be established as a Yom Tov b'halal v'hoda'ah, with praise and thanks, which is exactly what we say in the synopsis in the Bimei Matisyahu, that we add to our Amidah 3 times a day and our Birkos HaMazon. The Kavushmonas Yimei Chanukah Elu Lohodos Ulahalo L'Shimcha HaGadol. They establish these days to give praise, thanks and praise to your great name. When did the miracle of Chanukah happen? So it's very interesting. The Art Scroll footnote Gemara and Chabad online, I am not a historian, so those are the two sources, actually have a discrepancy in the dates, but I will tell you what the Art Scroll footnote says. The Chashmonaim, after 3 years of fighting, expelled the Syrian Greeks from the temple environs. The recapture of the temple, according to the Art Scroll Gemara footnote, and the miracle of Chanukah occurred when? In the year 3597, which is 165 before the Common Era. So we're going back 2,020 years, and then another 165 years. So we're talking about over 2,000 years ago. So just so that we have a frame of reference, the miracle of Chanukah occurred in the Jewish year of 3597, which corresponds to 165 before the Common Era. The war would continue for another generation, interestingly, until 140 BCE. So for 25 more years, the war continued. When the Sanhedrin and the people proclaimed Shimon, the last surviving son of Matisyahu, their prince. So the actual Chanukah miracle occurred, according to the Art Scroll footnote, in 165 before the Common Era. And this is the miracle. We won the battle. We entered the Heichal. We cleaned it up. There was only enough Pach Shemen to last for one night, and it lasted for 8 nights. And we celebrate Chanukah as established by the sages every year, henceforth. The Gemara then says, and again, I'm going in descending order. I started with the last teaching that I want to bring out on Masechah Shabbos Chof Aleph Amud Beis. Now I'm moving back with teaching. So the Gemara describes Chanukah. And the Gemara says, what is the inyan with the lighting of the Chanukah? Lech Tanu Rabbanon. The rabbis taught in a Braisa, Mitzvah Chanukah Ner Ishu Veso. So the minimum requirement of Mitzvah Chanukah is one light each night for a man in his household. This is not a Paskin. We don't live in a time of chas v'shalom, severe poverty. severe ministerious nefesh for the mitzvah of Chanukah licht. It is easy for everybody to have enough licht for every night of Chanukah. But the Gemara says the most basic fulfillment of the mitzvah is mitzvah Chanukah, ner ish uveso. Every man lights for his household one flame, one lamp, one candle per night. Again, that's not how we paskin. Umahadrin, a higher degree of keeping of the mitzvah, ner l'chol echad ve'echad. Everyone in the house lights one candle for themselves on each night. That's also not how we paskin. We don't light one candle per night for everyone in the household. V'hamehajon, min hamehajon, but the most mishubach, the most praiseworthy way of fulfilling the mitzvah, beishamai or min beishamai, says yomishon madlik shmona, mikam ve'elach poches v'holech. So beishamai, which is not how we paskin either, says on the first night we light eight, and we descend, and on the last night you're left with one. Now we know Beis Hillel, Beis Hillel says that's not how we paskin. Yom Mishon Madlik Achas, and this is how we paskin, like Beis Hillel. So the most basic way is one person, the household representative, lights one candle per night for his household. The next degree, Mahajan, is every person in the house lights one candle per night for themselves in the household. The Mahajan Minha Mahajan is that everybody lights a different number of candles on every night of Chanukah. Now we come to Machlokes. What is the way of lighting? So Beis Shammai says you start with eight on Chaf Hei Kislev, and by the time a night comes down later, you're left with one. Beis Hillel says no. Beis Hillel Armim Yom Rishon Madlik Achas, on the first night we light one candle. Mikan Ve'elach Mosif Ve'holech, from there on we increase as we go on. And the Gemara discusses the rationale, and the Gemara concludes, why do we paskin like Beis Hillel, which is exactly how we light? You start with one, and you end up with eight on Zos Chanukah. So the answer is, the Gemara says, Dema'alin b'kodesh ve'ein moridin. Because we have a principle. You always want to be ascending in Kedusha and not descending. So starting with one and ascending to eight demonstrates the fact that we want an aliyah, ma'alin. We want to be b'nei aliyah. We always want to be rising higher in our Avodah Hashem and not decreasing. And therefore, Chanukah is not only an allusion to Chanu Chafhei, they rested on the 20th, like we already explained, but it also is an acronym which stands for Ches Neiros V'Halacha K'Beis Hillel Chanukah. Ches Neiros V'Halacha K'Beis Hillel. We light eight candles, but we paskin like Beis Hillel, which is that we go from one on the first night to eight on the last night. And finally, the Gemara says, and again, I'm going in backwards order of the teachings in the Gemara, just for purposes of our shir. So my final quote from Masechah Shabbos Chof Aleph Amud Beis, which is really the first quote in chronological order of the three teachings I've quoted from the Gemara. The Gemara says, when may you light Chanukah candles in Tov? Let's talk a question. You might have a late work meeting. You had something to take care of. You came home very late. Ask your local Orthodox rabbi, when can you talk a light in Tov? Okay? It's not by tzeis, and it's not by supper time, and you came home, and it's midnight, and can you still light the Chanukah lich? So I'm not going to answer that, because I am not a Rav, and I cannot paskin halacha. But the Gemara says, when can you light? Until ad shetichla regel min hashuk. You can light, famous quote of the Gemara, Shabbos, Chof Aleph Amud Beis, you can light until the passerby have vanished from the market. Ad shetichla regel min hashuk. When there's no more regel, there's no more foot traffic in the marketplace. Now, that is a subjective measure. Your marketplace traffic might be different than, you know, someone lives in Manhattan. There's never, well, I'm not talking about during the COVID pandemic, but in normal times, in the city, okay, there's never tichla regel min hashuk. So can you light at 2 o'clock in the morning? Because there's always someone in the shuk. Again, I don't have the answers, but actually tichla regel min hashuk is not really a clearly defined time, because depending on when you live, and if you live in the boondocks, so I'm in the middle of Yehopitzville, 8 p.m. might be actually tichla regel min hashuk. And in Manhattan, it might be 4 o'clock in the morning, because it's never tichla regel min hashuk. But this is what the Gemara says. You can light until there is no more foot traffic in the marketplace. Va'ad kama. So the Gemara says, how long is that? Till you can't light anymore. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabba Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabba Bar Bar Chana says, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, listen carefully, Adichalya Rigla Ditar Moda'e. Ad until dechalya rigla, the foot traffic of the following is ceased. Who? Ditar modai. When the tar modeins have vanished from the market, That's what Al-Shatikha Ragam and Ashuk means. So the Gemara says, when there's no more foot traffic, we can't light anymore. So we said, what does that mean? Do I live in Manhattan or do I live in Yehoppetzville? In Yehoppetzville, people go to sleep at 8:30 and there's no foot traffic. There's no one in the market because there's barely a market in that town. In Manhattan, there's always this essence of a market. There's always somebody there. So the Gemara clarifies and the Gemara says, you know when you can light until Ad-Dechalya Rigla Ditarmoda'e. When the Tarmoda'ins have vanished from the market, that's when you can light until. Who are the Tarmoda'ins? So Rashi on the Gemara says, I'm going to read Rashi from the Gemara and translate it for you. Rashi says, Shem Uma, this is the name of a nation. The Tarmoda'ins is the name of a people, the name of a nation. Milakte Eitzim Dakim. What was the profession of these people? They gathered thin sticks of wood. Milakte, the Milakte Eitzim Dakim, they gathered thin sticks of wood. Umis Akvin Bishuk, and they would wait in the marketplace. Ad Shaholchim Bnei Ashuk Labatehim, until those people in the marketplace went home. Mishachashecha, once it becomes dark, this is the olden days, before they have electricity, so people were in the market, then people went home from the market, and then they realized it's so dark, we can't see each other, we can't have a conversation, we can't clean up from supper, we can't read, we can't write a letter to our brother in the next town. So once it becomes dark, Mishachashecha, once it becomes dark, Umavirim bibateim or, v'kishetzrichen la'etzim, yotzim v'koni mehem. They use up the wood that they have in their home. They want to light a fire so that they have light in their house. And when that wood is used up, they need more wood. Yotzim, they go out into the street. So this is who the Tarmoda'in are. They are people who collect small sticks of wood. They're peddlers of wood. And they wait in the shuk until everyone else goes home. Because when everyone else goes home to their house, now it became dark. Now they need light in their house. So they go back into the marketplace to buy from the Tarmoda'im more wood to light the fire. So this sounds like a very halachic classification of when we can light the Chanukah lech. Rav Soloveitchik sees in this teaching a very hashkafic lesson, and I'm now going to quote from Rav Soloveitchik's Sefer Days of Deliverance, Essays on Purim and Chanukah. So the subheading is called, one may continue to light until the traffic ceases in the market. So what did we do so far? We looked at the synopsis of the story from Bimei Matisyahu. Then we went into the Gemara and we looked at three different passages in Masechta Shabbos Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. The first passage about Chanukah, the Yevanim entered the Heichal, they defiled all the oars, the Malchus Beis Chashman E1, they found one little pach of shaman, and they made a Yom Tov. Then we saw the Chanukah, what is the classification of lighting of the candles? One man per household per night, everyone one candle per night in the house, Mahajan, Minim Mahajan, everyone lights multiple candles on each night. We saw the Pinah of Beis Shammai, we saw the Pinah of Beis Hillel. We paskin like Beis Hillel because Ma'alim B'Kodesh Ve'enu Maridim, Chanukah is an acronym for Ches Neros V'Halacha K'Beis Hillel. And then we finally looked at one more teaching in the Gemara, which is, halachically, when may you light until? What does that mean? In every place, that's a different classification. But the Gemara says, when the Tarmoda'im are no longer in the street, then you really know no one's out anymore. As long as the Tarmoda'im are out, it means someone needs to buy firewood for their home, someone's there. I'm now going to quote from Rav Soloveitchik. Rav Soloveitchik says as follows, the mitzvah of Chanukah candles, as we saw, is designed in order to maximize the publicizing of the miracle. We have a specific Indian. Why is there a whole shayla of when you could light until? Because we have, which we didn't say yet, I'm sorry. There's a whole shayla of when you could light until because of the mitzvah of Pirsumei Nisa. When it comes to Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, okay, on Leil Pesach, the Sefer Chinuch writes by the mitzvah that if a person is all by himself at the Seder table, he has a mitzvah, L'saper B'Yitzias Mitzrayim. He has a mitzvah to tell himself the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim. He's all by himself. There's no Pirsumei Nisa. You fulfill the mitzvah by telling the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim. This past year with the COVID pandemic, there were many people who were home alone for the Pesach Seder, and they had a mitzvah to tell the story. When it comes to eating the matzah, you have to eat the shira of matzah on Leil Seder. It's not about Pirsumei Nisa. You got to eat the matzah. There's a unique aspect of the mitzvah of Chanukah lech, which is in order to maximize the publicizing of the miracle, which is why we have a shayla in the first place of when you can light until. Who cares if there's people in the street? Because there's presume nisa. There has to be somebody there. The Rambam writes, the Rav Salvechik quotes the Rambam in Hilchos Chanukah, the time for the lighting Chanukah candles begins at sunset. But the Rambam writes, if one forgot or did not deliberately light at sunset, one may continue to light until the traffic ceases in the market, like we saw in the Gemara, but the Rav is quoting the Rambam, Atratichle Rego Minashuk. Okay. How late? The Gemara says, until the Tarmoda'i are no longer present. And we already saw that in the Gemara. Who are the Tarmoda'i? Rav Salvechik here quotes the Rashi that we already explained. Rav Salvechik says they were non-Jewish peddlers. They used to sell wood. They were the very last ones to leave the market because maybe somebody needed some electricity, which they didn't have in those days. They wanted to see something. So before everybody went to sleep, someone might want more wood. Once no one is buying wood, the Tarmoda'i could leave. As long as the peddlers had not left the street, it was still time to light the Hanukkah candles. They are the last man standing, okay? Pun is intended, if you will. As long as the Tarmoda'i are in the street selling their little sticks, you could light the Hanukkah lecht. According to Rashi, like we quoted on the Gemara, the Tarmoda'i were not Jewish. The Lashon of Rashi was, and I read it to you already, the Lashon of Rashi was, Shame Uma, the name of a nation, Milakte Eitzim, who would gather wood, Eitzim Dakim, thin wood. So you should have a question before I go further with this piece of Rasavachik. What should your question be? That is the barometer of when I could light Chanukah licht? The Tarmoda'i, some nation of people who gather thin sticks of wood, who wait in the street until everyone from the shuk goes home to their houses, and when it's dark, they realize they need to kindle light, so they come out. The Tarmoda'i, I'm lighting for them. It's very strange. As long as those peddlers had not left the street, you could light Chanukah licht. That's how we paskin halacha, according to the Tarmoda'i. Shame Uma? They're not Jewish. It is very strange, says Rav Salvechik, that the publicizing of the miracle of Chanukah relates to non-Jews. I understand if you have Pirsume Nisa, the not yet observant. I understand Chabad puts up a menorah and wants to get people who are not Jew, who are not yet observant, to feel their Jewish neshama, ma'alin v'kodesh, ve'eno maridin, moridin. We ascend in holiness. So you start with one little flame. By the last night, you have eight flames because you're always ascending in holiness. I understand you want to ignite the flame in yourself, your own ruchnius. Don't forget, when you look at the Chanukah licht, that's what that licht really represents. Remember, we said there's two aspects to the battle. We began by saying, and understand, there's a physical war that was fought, and there's a spiritual war that was won. But the Tarmoda'i, they are the barometer of when I could light Chanukah licht. The Gemara does not say one may light until the customers, says Rav Salvechik, other the Tarmoda'i are no longer present, because that could be Jews. The customers of the Tarmoda'i could be Jews. No, the Gemara focuses on the Tarmoda'i themselves. Until they pack up their wares and they leave the market, that's when the night is over. The lashon of the Gemara is, Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ad Dechalia Rigla, De Tarmoda'i, until the foot traffic of the Tarmoda'i has finished from the marketplace. So you're not talking about their customers, you're talking about them themselves. Who cares about the Tarmoda'i? When you light Chanukah licht, do you light it for the Gentiles who drive down your street? You might be afraid of the Gentiles who drive down your street. Apparently, the answer relates to the nature of the Pirsum Hanes, the publicizing of the miracle on Chanukah. Because like we've seen, it's different than all other mitzvahs. When I blow shofar, I'm mechuyev to your shofar. I don't have to go to the rooftop and blow so the Tarmoda'i in the street could hear shofar. It's not for them, it's for me. Matzah's not for them, it's for me. Sibur Yitzias Mitzrayim is not for anyone else, but for me. I have to be Pirsume the Misa for myself. So what does it have to do with the Tarmoda'i? So Rav Salvechik says, the Pirsum Hanes, the publicizing of the miracle of Purim, is accomplished through the reading of the Megillah. We do not have a Megillah on Chanukah, but we have, like we saw both in the Gemara and in the Girsa of Bimei Matisyahu, Lohodos Ilahalo. Okay? We have to give praise and we give thanks to God, and the halal takes the place, if you will, Of a Megillah, the Hallel and the Bimei Matis Yahu is the celebration and the recollection and the thanks to God for this miracle. As far as Pesach is concerned, so Rav Salvechik says, Purim, the Pirsum Anais is accomplished through the reading of the Megillah, Rav Am Hadros Melech, everybody gathers and you hear the Megillah. As far as Pesach is concerned, we perform Pirsum Anais through Tzipur Yitziat Mitzrayim, and we recite the story of the Exodus. Both the Megillah on Purim, the Gilat Esther, Megillas Esther, and the Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, the telling of the story of Exodus, can only be achieved by the act of Talmud Torah. When you read the Megillah, you're actually engaged in an act of reading from scriptures, Talmud Torah. Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim also, the Haggadah is mostly focused on passages from Tanakh, from the Chumash, from Parshas Bo, from the Parsha Bikurim, Arami Ovi Avi. You're expounding upon lessons from Torah. In the case of Pesach, we engage in the study of Torah Sheba Al Peh through the analysis of the Haggadah that begins with Arami Oveit Avi. That's what the farmer says when he brings his Bikurim. So you're expounding upon verses in Torah. That's the crux of Maggid. Talmud Torah is the mode or the medium on Pesach for the Pirsumei Nisa. On Purim, we read the Megillah. And Megillah is part of Scripture. It's one of the 24 books of Tanakh, the Torah Shebichtav, the written Torah. So on Pesach, we expound with Torah Sheba'al Peh, and we are mefarsim, the neis, we publicize the miracle for others at our table and even for our own selves. And by Purim time, we read the Mikra Megillah, which is the Torah Shebichtav. Wherever the medium or vehicle, Pirsum Anais, is Torah, Gentiles are excluded. So Rav Salvechik is saying, because the medium of Pirsum Hanais is through Torah, and it is usher to teach Gentiles Torah, so they're not included in Pirsum Hanais. Non-Jews have no relationship to Torah, says Rav Salvechik. It's not theirs. We say in Devar, in Perek Lamed Gimel Pasuk Dalet, you all know this Pasuk, it's our first Pasuk, we teach our children after Shema Yisrael, Torah Tzivo Lanu Moshe, Marasha Kilas Yaakov, the Torah that Moshe commanded us. It's a Marasha, it's a legacy for the community of Yaakov, it's ours. So in the Pirsum Hanais, says the Rav, relates to Sipur HaTorah, darshaning Torah, the Gentiles are excluded. But on Chanukah, says Rav Salavechik, the Pirsum Hanais is not accomplished through Torah study. The Pirsum Hanais relates to what? Not expounding upon verses, but lighting a licht. On Chanukah, the act of publicizing the miracle is simply through, says Rav Salavechik, quote, perception. By seeing the Ner Chanukah. You light a candle, he says simply. One simply lights a candle, put the light on display, that's Pirsum Hanais. So Salvechik says, why does this apply to non-Jews? Because it's not about Limud Torah. I'm not teaching anybody Torah. Not Torah Shebichtav, not Torah Sheba'al Peh. I'm lighting a candle. One simply lights a candle, puts it on display. The act of Pirsum Hanais applies to non-Jews as well. So this is how Rav Salvechik halachically explains that Pirsum Hanais is related to the Talmud Da'i. But now the Rav comes to a very beautiful teaching. Homiletically, says Rav Salvechik, there's another explanation. A very simple one. And before I go to this answer of the Rav, which is really so, so beautiful and so powerful and so emotional, and so speaks to the spirit of Am Yisrael. What was the miracle of Chanukah? There were so many aspects. There were two different aspects of the destruction of that time, or of the planned destruction. You had to fight a physical battle that nobody knew at the time. They believed that were we going to win. And we were fighting a spiritual battle. The Syrian Greek army, Antiochus, we already gave the year according to Masech Shabbos. I think it was 165 before the Common Era, if I'm correct. I just want to make sure I repeated that correctly to you. They won. Yes, they recaptured the temple. The miracle of Chanukah occurred, according to the Art Scroll footnote, 165 BCE. The war continued for another 25 years, another generation, till 140 BCE, when the Sanhedrin and the people proclaimed Shimon, the last surviving son of Matisyahu, their prince. So there was a very physical battle. So as much as we talk about the fact that Chanukah is a spiritual Yom Tov, and it's about Ruchnius, and it's about our Neshama, and it is, they physically had to fight. They had to fight. They had to fight the Yavanim. They weren't trained. They weren't warriors. They were a small band of Jews from Judea fighting a mighty tens of thousands of Greek soldiers. They had to fight. And we say that in the Al HaNisim of Bimei Matisyahu. And you in your great mercy stood for them in their time of tzara. You judged for us. You took nekama for us. You took up our grievance. You gave the mighty into the hands of the weak. The many into the hands of the few. The impure into the hands of the pure. The sinners and the wicked ones into the hands of the righteous who are involved in Torah. It reminds me very much, if you read any history of the state of Israel, I've read a number of books, non-fiction, that I could highly recommend on the establishment of the state of Israel, the 1967 war, the 73 war. We had to fight. I heard a beautiful vart in Eretz Yisrael when I was on a teaching program through the Young Israel of Woodmere in November 2016, a week of teaching. It was the week of Thanksgiving, actually. So I don't remember who told the vart over. But I heard a beautiful vart at that on that teaching program, when Yitzchak says, when Yaakov comes, Parshas told us, Perachov Zayin, when Yaakov comes in, and Yitzchak is not sure who's standing before him, because he feels like Esau, but he sounds like Yaakov. So Yitzchak says, so famously, HaKol Kol Yaakov, V'hayadayim Yedei Esau. The voice is the voice of Yaakov, the hands are the hands of Yaakov. Who's standing here? Come closer, I could kiss you, I could feel you, my son. Who's before me? So I heard a beautiful vart. HaKol Kol Yaakov. Yitzchak was giving Yaakov a bracha. And he was saying, your primary koach as Yisrael, the father of Am Yisrael, is the call, is the voice, is the tefillah. When a Jew is in a time of tzara, we know that our primary tool is tefillah. We turn to the Ribbono Shel Olam with our call, with our voice. But Yitzchak was giving Yaakov a bracha, v'hayadayim yedei Esav. There will be times in history when you will need the strength of an Esav in your hands to be able to fight. You will need to be able to take up arms. You will need to be able to fight against the enemy. And you might be few, and you might be weak, and you might be ill-trained, and you might be ill-equipped against the massive Arab armies who surround this teeny strip of land, against massive forces of Antiochus invading the land. There'll be times when you need the koach of your hands. Primarily the Jew relies on the voice, which is tefillah. But there are times when you need the koach of your hands. So the first part of the miracle was that we fought at all. The second part of the miracle is that when we cleaned up the mikdash, we found, like we saw in the Gemara, one pach shemen v'hidlika neros v'chatzos kotshecha. And that relates to the spiritual victory. So there was a dual aspect to the victory of Hanukkah. There was the physical battle that we won, and we give thanks to God for that. And there was the spiritual battle that we done, that we won, and lohodos ulahalo. Maybe the lohodos and the halo, which both the Gemara and the Al HaNisim prayer mention, even though the order switched, maybe one aspect relates to the physical battle, one aspect relates to the spiritual battle. Interesting. The Gemara says, the kavum v'asum yamim tovim b'halal v'hoda'ah. Halal and hoda'ah. So perhaps the halal is the song of the soul for the spiritual victory, and the lohodos, the thanks, is the song of physical survival, giving thanks to God for the fact that we are physically still here. And we have to thank the Ribbono Shel Olam for both of those aspects. The Jewish neshama has never been snuffed out. And physically, we're still here. Am Yisrael Chai. So if Salvatrix says, going back to the Tarmoda'i, remember, again, this is very strange. Do I care when the Tarmoda'i are in the shuk that I shleich Hanukkah lich? Do I pask in other halachas based on the schedule of the Umas HaOlam? Homiletically, says the Rav, there's another explanation. Remember, the first explanation gave us halachic. It's not Talmud Torah. So therefore, you could teach the Jews also about Pirsumei Nisa. But homiletically, says the Rav, there's another explanation, a very simple one. We do not have to announce to the Gentile world that the Jew fights for his physical survival. A Jew is like any other person. He has an instinct for physical survival. All creations, if you watch ever animal documentaries, all creations have a fight or flight. They're going to fight for their lives because it is ingrained in a living being to survive. That's why we have what's called the survival of the fittest in nature. Because the being is going to, the creation is going to struggle for survival. And a Jew is no different. A Jew is like any other person. He has an instinct for physical survival. We value physical life over all else because through physical life, we can accomplish ruchniistic life. This is true even in the animal kingdom, says the Rav. However, Chanukah, there's another element. And what's Chanukah? The fight for spiritual survival. By Yom Tov of Purim, they wanted to kill us. Haman didn't say, listen, if you give up Rosh Chodesh, and you give up Shabbos, and you give up Talmud Torah, and you give up Bris Milah, which is what Antiochus and the Syrian Greek said, then you could be with us. Haman didn't give us an ultimatum. Haman didn't say, convert, and you will be saved from the Inquisition. Haman said, what did I say? The hollow. So maybe since we say hollow and Purim, maybe the aspect of hollow is actually for our physical survival and lahodos is for our spiritual survival. Hollow we say both on Chanukah and Purim. Okay. Chanukah, we have the aspect of fighting for spiritual survival. The Gentiles should know, says the Rav. What does this have to do with the Tarmodai? The Gentiles should know. The Jews are ready to fight, and they are capable of fighting for their spiritual salvation. Therefore, the message of Ner Chanukah relates to the non-Jew as well as the Jew. There's a unique aspect of Chanukah Licht. It represents the Jews' fight for survival, not only physical survival, but also in ruchnius, in spirituality, in tormentos. We will not abandon Shabbos. We will not abandon Rosh Chodesh. We will not abandon Bris Milah. We will not abandon Talmud Torah. And let the Gentiles know that as well, Sev Rav Soloveitchik, Chanukah is a fight for spiritual survival. And the Gentiles have to know the Jews are ready to fight. The Gentiles have to know the Jews are capable of fighting. Not only for physical survival, like all other creations, but for spiritual salvation. And therefore, the message of Chanukah dafka relates to the non-Jew. Specifically, when the Tarmodai are in the street, that's exactly when you have to light the Chanukah lecht. Let them see, let them know that we will not give up. I'm going to end tonight's shiur by quoting a very powerful passage from a book that my son is reading, Flags Over the Warsaw Ghetto, by Geffen Publishing House. The untold story of the Warsaw Ghetto uprising, and he is very taken with it. I hope Belinator to read it after him. But he read this passage at the Shabbos table, and of course I was crying, not sobbing, but definitely tears. Some were coming down, and I'm going to end with this. Okay. There were two fighting organizations, my son told me, in the Warsaw Ghetto. The ZZW, in Polish that stands for the Jewish Military Union, the second in command of the ZZW, which is Polish for Jewish Military Union, in the Warsaw Ghetto, the second in the command was a man named Leon Rodal, R-O-D-A-L, Hashem Yikom Damo. On Sunday, April 18th, 1943, the day before the uprising, Walewski is a survivor, and Leon Rodal were in the ZZW headquarters, making last-minute preparations the day before the uprising. Walewski, who survived the fighting in the ghetto, later recorded Leon Rodal's last words. Leon Rodal, who was the second in command of one of the two fighting organizations in the Warsaw Ghetto, the day before the uprising, this is what he said. We will all fall here. Those in battle, weapons in hand, and those as vain victims. But it is important that the memory of our battle will be retained. That the world will know there was a battle. The world will know. Who does that mean? The Tarmodai. A tough, bloody battle. And should it happen that you, of the two of us, will survive, and sometime, someplace, you meet my comrades, please tell them what I said. Tell them, not for a moment did I doubt that Hitler's Germany would be defeated. Not I, nor my comrades. We did not doubt for a moment that Hitler's Germany would be defeated. That we are fighting for our people, and we shall die for them. That we believe that a Jewish state will arise in a struggle with our enemies, there in that distant land. During that far period of slavery, when the Roman legions trampled almost the entire ancient world, and the whole world kneeled before them, only one small Roman province, Judea, took up arms, rose up to fight for freedom, in defense of the honor of man against a world of injustice. And that is the reason that Judea is inscribed in the history of mankind as a symbol of the fight for the spirit of man. Maybe someday, after many years, when the history of the struggle against the Nazi conquerors is written, we, the Warsaw Ghetto fighters, will also be remembered. And who knows, maybe we will become like small Judea in its day, which fought mighty Rome. Maybe we will become the symbol that man's spirit cannot be suppressed, that our essence is to fight for freedom, to fight for the right to live and the right to exist. These were the last words the day before the uprising of Leon Rodal. And when you listen to the power of his words, you can put them in all different times when Jews have fought, both physically and spiritually, against our enemy. You tell them that not for a moment did I doubt Hitler's Germany would be defeated. I didn't doubt it, and my comrades didn't doubt it. And we are fighting for our people, and we are prepared to die for them. We believe a Jewish state will arise in a struggle with our enemies in a distant land. Judea took up arms, rose to fight for freedom in defense of honor of man. And that is the reason Judea is inscribed as a symbol of the fight for the spirit of man. Maybe someday we will be remembered. We will become like small Judea in its day, the symbol of man's spirit that cannot be suppressed. We ask the Ribbono Shel Olam, Chasof Zroa Kodshecha V'Karev Keitz HaYeshua, bear your holy arm and hasten the end for salvation. Nekam Nikmas Dama V'Decha Me'uma HaRasha'a, take the final Nekama, the revenge against the wicked nation. Ki Archa Lanu HaYeshua Ve'ein Keitz V'Yemei HaRa'ah. The Yeshua seems so long in coming, there seems to be no end in sight to these bad days. Repel the red one, Dechei Admon, Galus Edom, Betzel Tzalmon, in the nethermost shadow, Hakim Lanuroim Shiva. But until the great day comes, Be'ezrat Hashem, when Hashem will take Nakama and bring us the ultimate redemption, the Jew and his spirit is inextinguishable. We are prepared to fight physically, and we are prepared to battle spiritually. So let the Talmudai know, let the Romans know, let the Yavanim know, let the Nazis know, that we are here at B'ez Kol Tzedek, and we will continue to fight for our survival and Yehadus. Thank you so much for learning with me. I wish you a very lichtige Chanukah. Thank you all, everybody.